Bhajan Rahasyam, we're discussing this Vipralamba Bhav chapter, Vipralamba Prem, Yugayita Nameshina. This is the Saptamayam Sarana, being continued, of course, from last year. And these verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing from the viewpoint of the gopis primarily, Venu Gita. It's all actually all the verses from Venu Gita, all the four that we've been discussing. From Venu Gita, chapter 21 of the 10th canto, which most aptly describes the Adiruddha Mahabhava, the gopis in separation. And this Adiruddha or Madanaikya Mahabhava has these characteristics that which we were hearing about, the intensity of their absorption, love in Krishna is such that they ascribe human characteristics and qualities to animals or to dry pieces of wood. They look at a dry piece of wood and they say, oh, you're so fortunate. You're born in a very high family. It's simply a dry piece of wood with holes in it. It's a vansuri, a venu, a flute. And this is a madness, of course. And by hearing this, of course, this the Bhava Bhaktas who are qualified to relish this Saptamiyam Sarana, they will nourish their own bhav and hasten their journey to the kingdom of prema by cultivating the chanting of the holy name along with the study of these verses. And for us that are ajata rati sarakas, we are not on the level of rati or attachment, asakti to Krishna. But by hearing about the deep, intense attachment of the Braja Gopis, then some can say mercy comes into our heart, some drops of their attachment. Someone is standing in the ocean and they're completely covered with water and they may flick some water. It's called flicking. They may flick some water on you. You're standing on the shore in the dry sand and they take their hand like this and they put their hand in the water, then they go like this. Sometimes we get the conch shell water that Pajari puts in his hand and he throws it and you just want to get a drop of mercy. There's hundreds of people in front of Govindaji's altar, thousands of people pushing, shoving this way, and Jayapur trying to get some of the mercy of Govindaji's Charanamrita, or whatever from this Artik. And everyone's like sparrows with upraised mouths, trying to get some mercy from their mothers. And then you're just saying, me, what about me? And I can remember we were there, and you don't feel anything on your head, and you feel like you didn't get anything. So if you're a little bit eager, you make noise, like the bird, wah, wah. Prabhupada says the eager bird gets the worm. There's six little birdies in the nest, and they're all sticking their heads up, wah, 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 mommy, mommy. And she doesn't know, she has this one worm, she doesn't know who to give it to. Then one guy's a little smarter, he has a longer neck or something. He sticks his neck, me, forget those guys. So she's just like confused, there's six mouths. Then one guy sticks his head up further, ah, ah, ah. Okay, alright, you take it. Let me just get rid of this worm and go get another one. So the wheel that squeaks the loudest gets the oil. If you have some four or five wheels, one wheel's going, hey, put some oil on that wheel. So then you give him some oil, then he starts moving smoothly. So the devotee that squeaks the loudest, he gets the mercy. So whenever we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's a chance to squeak. Like a mouse. When somebody steps on a mouse, he goes, ew! So we should squeak more. squeaky clean. The more you squeak, the cleaner you get. So Krishna's attention will be, I don't mean squeaking exactly, but I mean crying. Krandan. Krandan nam. And we're crying out for Krishna's mercy, really feeling the need. That we really need the mercy. Generally, we feel quite self-satisfied and rather content, self-contented. I'm doing all right. I'm young. I have no disease. I'm healthy. I eat good and I sleep good and digest good. I have money, friends, influence. Why should I cry? But the intelligent person will realize that he has nothing. And he's in a very precarious position. Jivana Talamala, that song is there, Vajahuri Mana. like a drop of water tilting on a lotus leaf, waxy covering of a lotus leaf. It will not support any water. It will not contain or give any shelter to a drop of water. This waxy covering on the lotus leaf, you put a drop of water on it and go like this with the lotus leaf, the water goes and just zips off. Whereas a lily leaf, like these lilies, you put a drop of water on it, water can stay over there and kind of bond and bond with the leaf. So we actually have no fixed position in this material world. We think we're so fixed and sure and steady here because our feet are on the ground. But our position in this material world, or the Atma's position in this body, is no more secure than the security of a drop of water on a lotus leaf. The wind just blows this way or that way, and that drop is sitting there, and whoop, it slides off the leaf. So one tiny germ or a drop of cyanide in our drinking water, one drop of cyanide in our drinking water, Haribo, good night. Can you imagine, when you think about it, the human body has something like 300 billion cells. Is it like that? Something like 300 billion cells. And each cell is like a living entity in one sense, a living organism energized by the Atma. But they themselves are growing and reproducing so many things. There's 300 billion cells in this body, this vast integrated system with digestive system and respiratory system and this computer, a vast computer brain and memory and logic and so many functions. It can be completely destroyed and annihilated by one drop of poison, cyanide. The whole system, finished, dead. Where's the sure position? But our ego is such a vast magician, such a great hypnotist. The ego is the greatest hypnotist who was ever born. But we're talking about something different here. We're talking about Mathura Mandala Stiti. Mathura Mandala Vasa Stiti. To be situated, permanently situated in Mathura Mandala. So that permanent position comes by prema. And the gopis are existing, eternally existing in the unshakable, immovable soil of Vrindavan based on their intense devotion and loving attachment for Krishna, which is ever expanding and always presenting itself in newer and newer sweet ways of love and bliss for Krishna's pleasure. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. We're hearing about this Adiruddha Mahabhav. This is chapter 21, text 11. The gopis, because of this, these are some of the characteristics of this type of love. Now, can you imagine being envious of an animal? That's some of the craziness of Adiruddha Mahabhav. The gopis become envious of dumb animals, envying the good fortune of even dumb animals. Danya swamudagatayo piharanya eta yananda nandanam upatta vichitra vesham akanya vena ranitam saha krishna sara pujam dadur virachitam pranayavaloke. The sakis, of course, are speaking in the absence of Krishna. He's separated from them. This is Viparlamba Prem. This is Pravasa Ras, one of the aspects of love and separation. Krishna has gone to a distant place, but not Pradurvas, not to a very far place, but maybe he's left Nandagram. He's passed through Varsana, just beneath the vision of the gopis from their palaces, and cast a few sidelong goodbye glances. And he's gone off to Vrindavan, to Govardhan, some distance, some separation, some time and place. And they're feeling a separation or gathering in groups here and there. Maybe in Kishori Kund, or maybe in Dohani Kund, or in Pavan Sarovar. They're gathering here and there, and maybe Terakadam, and they're speaking about Krishna. This is called satsang. Devotees get together and they speak about Krishna. Ishta Goshti. Goshta. Goshti means sounds, vibration, glorification. Ishta means your Lord, your Prananath. To gather together and glorify your Prananath, your Ishta, your Lord, Master. So the gopis are having ishta goshtis, and they're not talking about who took the sankirtan van and who didn't clean the sankirtan van, and you know, who stole the mahatray and who broke the lock in the didi cabinet, stole the mahasweets. They're talking about Krishna and the effect of his flute and how their love is moving in this way. So one Sakhi says to another, "Oh Sakhi, when Nanda Nanda and Shamasundar wearing beautiful multicolored clothes vibrates a sweet melody on his flute, even the does," which is a female deer, right, "who are foolish due to having taken birth from the wombs of ignorant animals, they run towards Krishna along with their husbands, and they gaze upon Shamasundar with love-laden eyes." These does are not merely gazing, Sakhi, but they are worshipping our Shamasundar with crooked sidelong glances from their large lotus-like eyes. And he is accepting their worship with his own loving sidelong glance. Oh, the lives of these deer are truly blessed, Sakhi. Although we are gopis of Vrindavan, we are unable to offer ourselves like this because our family members always harass us. How ironic this is. If anyone has seen a deer up close, maybe you've gone to Priya Park in Delhi. There's one park called Priya Park. Some people call it Deer Park. We call Priyaji Park because she's the dearest of all. So if you've gone to Deer Park, then you'll see deer, interestingly enough. Which maybe you've seen other places also. And one feature of the deer is that has a rather, compared to the size of its head, has rather large size eyes. And their pupils are rather strange. Their pupils aren't round, you know that? Like a goat. And pupils are rectangular. Eyes are large, so the gopis are saying lotus eyes. Doe eyes. Mrigakshi. Mrigakshi means, it's a name for the gopis. Mrigakshi. Mriga means deer. Harinya also means deer. Harinya aksh, deer eyed. So they're saying, yes, these ladies, these does, these wives, the does are not the wives of the deer. There's no vivaha yagya for deer. There's no husbands and wives. They're saying the wives of the deer. We're Brajavadus. We are Brajavadus. We're young married brides in Braj. Vadu means young married bride. We are wives and we have our husbands, our pati. And the deer have their patis. And so their eyes are large, lotus-like, and they're always very wet. Because they're large, then their bodies are naturally secreting lots of fluid to keep them from drying out. So the deer's eyes are very, very moist. Another characteristic, because they're vegetarian, and this is a characteristic of all vegetarians, their eyes have a very gentle look. If you look at any carnivore, if you look at tiger or dog or cat or any animal that's non-vegetarian, their eyes don't have the same gentle look. You look at goat, deer, sheep, vegetarian people, their eyes have a certain gentleness. So this large size, this moistness, and this gentleness, so the gopis are understanding all this, and then they're saying that they're describing them as if they're rival gopis. They're describing the deer as if they're Vipaksha Sakhis. They say, oh Sakhi, look at these animals, these are foolish, stupid animals. Animals, everyone knows that animals are ignorant. And sometimes people joke and say, Pashu Buddhi, you animal brain, you cow brain, you dog head. Right, animal brain, it means that they have no brain. Or bird, what do you say, bird brain? That's really less. Pea brain, at least that's vegetarian. Pea brain. But bird brain, animal brain. Because the gopis say the same thing when they're criticizing Krishna. When they're in Man, they say, you're acting like a cow. You're running behind a cow's hole. You have Pashu Buddhi. You have the Buddhi, the intelligence of an animal. Just you go run with the animals. You don't know how to deal with people. You don't know how to deal properly with human beings. The way you treat us, you're like an animal. So this is in their And Krishna loves it. Oh, they call me an animal. They call me animal brain. Pashu buddhi. You dirt, you lumpat, you pashu buddhi, you kalankana. You spotted, you know, black one, get out of here. Kalankani. Kalankani means spotted. Kalanka means spotted. You're black. Yeah, when they say black heart, they say black hearted one. So your heart is defiled as your... They say your heart is defiled. I see the marks of being with another sucky. You have lipstick on your eyelids, you know, on your neck. It clearly indicates that not only is your complexion black, but your heart is also black. So they say in Sanskrit, you black-hearted one, jao. You're Shamasinder, okay, that's nice, but your heart is also black. It's all right to have a black complexion, but not a black heart. Black heart means you're a traitor. They call him a traitor. In Sanskrit, you traitor, you cheater, you kapat. You cheated us. And he's like, oh, yeah. He says, oh, I'm sorry, but he actually likes, oh, yeah. Who would say that? Will the personified Vedas say that about Narayan? Will the Madhvas glorify Narayan or Krishna with such stutis and stotrams? The thousand names of Vishnu, it's all this vibhuti, this mahima, this guna, that quality. And then they say, they're not just looking at Krishna, they're worshipping him with crooked sidelong glances. Haranya Kripa Kataksha. Mriga Kripa Kataksha, the deer, the sidelong glances of the deer. Now this is really over-exaggeration. It's called over-exaggeration. You're really exaggerating things. Like someone, you're riding with your wife or something, she looks out the window and sees some young college guy or something. And you say, I saw you look at him. I think you like him. What do you mean? I just looked. No, and then she's, no, I saw, you know, and you get the whole long conversation happens. She says, you're exaggerating. He just had a stupid shirt. And I wanted to read what it said. You know, he had some stupid saying on his t-shirt, you know, and I wanted to see what it said, you know. No, I saw the way you look. I don't think you love me anymore. But it's called exaggeration. It's like really over the top because you're just so afraid of losing or whatever, or possessive or whatever. Suspicious, you could say. Overly suspicious. So the gopis are saying, this is the madness of Adiruddha Mahabhav. Look, Sakhi, they're worshipping him. In other words, look, that's why the Vishnu is saying they're envious. And this Adiruddha makes you envious. Forget about envious of other Sakhis. You're envious of a deer. I think, oh, we're going to lose Krishna. He's going to run away with that deer. He's like, I'm afraid. Oh, my wife, she's going to run away with that dog across the street. No, isn't that a little ridiculous and preposterous? I went to Deer Park with my wife, and we went and we looked at the deer, and I saw that deer was casting sidelong glances at my wife, and I'm afraid that my wife's going to run away with that deer. Isn't it like wild? That's exactly what the gopis are saying to each other. Did you see? And the other sucker says, yeah, I saw it. Instead of saying, what are you, crazy? No, they're all crazy. So that's right. We better do something. We better chase these deer out of here. And don't let Krishna look at them. They're worshipping him with crooked sidelong glances from their large lotus eyes. They're really fortunate. We're gopis. We're his own kind. We're human beings. We're born in his village. But we can't offer ourselves like that. Because our family, they're so restrictive. Krishna Chitra Vesha Swiya Chakshite Hariya Tanhara Bamshari Dhwani Karnite Shuniya Pujara Vidhana Kaila Pranaya Nayane Krishna Sara Sahaja Danya Mrigi Gane. The same verse in Bengali. This is commentary. This is from 10th canto, Vishwanath's commentary. The Brajaramanis are always restless to meet with Krishna. This restlessness is due to their inability to be satisfied, which is natural characteristic of their prema. We always want to be satisfied. Everyone's looking for satisfaction. We do things to get happiness. We do things to get peace. We do things to get satisfaction. That's what drives us on, the desire for rasa, pleasure. The nature of prema is such that you become dissatisfied. The more you get love of Godhead, the more you say, oh, this, This is wonderful, it's ecstatic, but I'm not satisfied, I want more. Difficult thing to understand. This is a natural characteristic of their prema. They're always restless. They're unable to steady their minds in any way. That's why we say that they are desperados. In Spanish, desperado means a gunda. But if you look in a dictionary, desperado, also the first definition that's given is one who's desperate. One who's really desperate. So the gopis are desperados. They're totally desperate because this is the nature of Braja Prem. And we were saying the other day in class that every single person is a desperado. Yashoda is a desperado, Nanda Maharaj, Sri Ram, Subal, Raktak, Patrak. The cows are desperados, the deer, the birds, they're full of desperation. Because Krishna, his love is such that he stretches their heart in so many different directions simultaneously that they go mad. The deer are mad, the birds are mad, the coward boys, the house servants and maidservants. His mother is mad, his father is mad, his brother, his friends, his gopi lovers, the elderly gopis. They all go mad. They're desperate. Will he come to my house this morning to steal yogurt? I don't know. I hope so. I stayed up all night until the very last possible moment. I stayed up to the latest possible moment to make the freshest possible butter that could be made. Because I know that the other suckies, they milk the cows in the evening time, early evening. Then they churn that milk into yogurt and into butter, and they make butter. And then they take rest at a reasonable time. So their butter is going to be not as fresh as my butter. Because I collected the milk, but I started churning at 12 o'clock at night. And they're all sleeping. So if I'm hoping that Krishna will smell or understand or perceive somehow that my butter is the freshest butter in Gokul. Because that's the newest date on the package, right? Expiry date. 6 a.m., October 3rd, October 4th. So it's the newest batch of yogurt. So they're desperate, that desperate to do that out of their intense vatsalya prema and love for Krishna, to please him and satisfy him at all costs, at all types of personal sacrifice. It doesn't matter. Krishna is everything. So then they somehow sleep and thinking, and every time they hear a sound early in the morning, oh, is that some footsteps? Is that the sound of Krishna lifting the window? Is he outside? Is he moving on the path? Do I hear any flute? Is there any laughter? Are they joking outside? And they're desperate, listening. No, that's only leaves rattling in a tree. No, that's the men in the barn and the goshala talking among themselves. It's not the boys. But they're all desperate. Will Krishna come to my house and steal? So the gopis, this is the prema. This is Braja prema. Everyone, this is not at all in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, everyone is Atmaram, Premanand. They are self-satisfied. Everyone's fixed in their seva, Samipya Bhav, Sharsti, Samipya, Silokya, Sarupya. They're fixed, and everything is just going on in a very mechanical and orderly way in the context of Vaikuntha Narayan Prem. And it's dedication. Everyone's dedicated and dutiful, just working like integrated machine parts. Everyone's smooth, everyone's oiled, everyone's getting equal distribution of oil and integrated and moving sweetly and nicely in a plane of dedication. It's a certain joy, but it doesn't reach the zenith of ecstatic experience, and there's no question of desperation by Kunta. That's why people are afraid of Braja Leela. They don't, hey, wow, this looks painful. One time one professor met with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and said, I'm living in Bengal. There are so many Gaudiya Vaishnavas. I am a Shakta. I was curious, what is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I read about his life, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I thought, oh, how horrible. What a horrible life. How much pain, how much pathos, how much agony. He suffered so much, grinding his face and bleeding and rolling in the ground and drowning in the ocean. I thought, oh, this is a terrible thing. This Gaudiya Vaishnava is a terrible religious pursuit. The Lord, the very Lord, their Prayojan, the goal of their life, he's suffering so much. And how do people take up this pursuit? He couldn't understand anything about it. So this is, to the outsider, the ordinary person, he'll think, this is insanity. to want to follow such a personality as Lord Chaitanya. He's an epileptic and he's going into contortions of self-destruction. Seems like the world's worst sadist, and or rather, I should say, masochist, self-inflicting pain upon himself. He was saying this to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he said, "My dear friend, you have totally missed the point." The desperation of Gaur Lila and the desperation of Braj. It's depicted in the Vaino Gita, how much desperate they are. The gopis consider anyone who has even the slightest relationship with Krishna to be extremely fortunate. While sitting in their homes, the gopis hear the flute song of Govinda, who steals the hearts of all the beings in Vrindavan. They become completely submerged in prem ras, with eyes of bhav drishti. The gopis see the does in the forest not only abandon grazing on the grass when they hear the Venu, but they abandon caring for their offspring and everything else. These does dash towards Krishna with great speed, stopping so close to Krishna that he can touch them with his hands. So they have eyes, and the gopis are in the forest, and they've seen. In the distance, they see they can't touch Krishna. They're moving with their relatives, or they're doing some seva, collecting water, or whatever. But they see, oh, and they hear Krishna's flute, so they look there. Oh, look in the distance. Then they see these deer. Some deer are standing under some trees. And the stag or the buck is there, and the does are there, and there's some little babies standing, huddling next to the mother deer. And as soon as the mother deer hears the flute, because deer are very much attracted to the flute, even the hunter calls a deer with a flute, and then they abandon everything and get shot. So the deer, they forget their little babies, because the babies only know the mother. They're not so much, ears aren't so much working. Only eyes are working on mother, looking at mother. The mother starts running towards the sound. It's a natural attraction the deer has for music. And the stags follow with them. They don't restrain them. Hey, stop, where are you going? They're attracted, they're compelled also. The male and female deer are both equally compelled and attracted to the sound of music, especially flute. It has a special enchanting and bewitching quality on their consciousness. So they're both running, they forgot their babies. And they're running, and they run very fast, and they go right next to Krishna, so he can actually touch their heads. They look at him with their little narrow faces and their moist, large eyes, looking so softly and gently, apparently lovingly. It's just the natural, innocent curiosity of their eyes. The structure of their eyes of the deer appear very innocent and curious. Maybe they are. Their consciousness is like that, and it appears like that. That they act in a very innocent and curious way. Non-envious animals, vegetarians, deer, nibbling a little grass, not bothering anybody. The gopis see, look at that, they don't care. They don't care for their children or anything else. And Krishna can touch them with his hands. But we don't have that fortune. The gopis express their moods in a concealed way. Avihita bhav. Avihita means covered. Oh, Sakhi, see the affection of these does from the animal kingdom, what they have for Krishna. They're very fortunate. We're born human beings, but we can't have such darshan and perform such seva, which is the right, which is our birthright of a human. This makes our lives full of frustration. In the autumn, Brajendranandan and Krishna, beautifully decorated in wonderful clothing suitable for roaming in the forest, enters Vrindavan to herd the cows and blissfully plays enchanting notes on his flute. That time, the does become content by seeing the sweet form of Shamsundar, who steals the hearts of everyone in the universe. And by hearing the sound of his flute, one Sakhi says, when the does hear the sound of Shamsundar's flute, they become senseless, and they run towards him, staggering and stumbling. At that time, their husbands, Krishnasara, because in Sanskrit, the name for stag or buck or male deer is Krishnasar. This is the black deer. There's two types of deer. There's the brown spotted deer, which we usually see. There's another type of deer called black deer. Black, the fur is black color. And Radharani has a pet deer like this. And I think she has a spotted one. But there's also a black one. And they're called Krishnasar. But the word sar in Sanskrit also means essence. So someone who is someone who has made Krishna the essence of their lives, they are Krishnasar. So the deer, the gopis are playing on words here. They say, look at these deer. They've left their children in the background. They abandoned everything. The shelter of the tree they were sitting under, the food they were nibbling. They were nibbling some nice leaf buds from the branches that were hanging down. They were nibbling these fresh buds of leaves, which are like nectar, like lovejumins for deer. And they abandoned those hanging branches, which were full of heavy leaf buds and fruits and flowers. They gave up food, they gave up shelter, they gave up their own family and their own offspring. A mother giving up her children is pretty unusual, even in the animal kingdom. But the powerful attraction of Krishna's flute forced them, and without even thinking, they just ran towards that sweet, attractive flute, Sri Krishna Karshani. And the gopis are remarking what an amazing thing this is. They've done this. So they say, look at this, look at these Krishnasara, they're much more fortunate than we were born in human beings, they're just dumb animals. But look how intelligent. Even their husbands are intelligent because they're running right along with their wives, equally attracted and equally interested, non-envious of their wives, not restricting or holding their wives back, running side by side. But what about our husbands? Are they running with us when we run to Krishna? Are they crying and exclaiming in ecstasy, ha ha, hanta hanta, Krishna's flute. He's calling us, hey Sakhi, your name is there, my name, come. And they say, hey stop, where are you going? Hey, stop, you can't go. Tie her up, lock her up. You're grounded. You have to stay home. But their husbands are Krishna, their husbands are, obviously the deer are Krishnasara, they've accepted Krishna's everything. We gopis are Krishnasara. At least we thought we were. But even their husbands are Krishnasara. The husbands of the black deer have accepted Krishna as the essence of their lives, the sum and substance of their lives. Wish we were Krishnasara. Another Sakhi says, oh friend, this is really true. What? Right you say. Rightly saying. You're saying correctly. Where is our fortune? We are females and wives of other men. Like the deer. The deer are females and they're wives, so-called wives, of other men. Male deer. I mean, the bucks. But we cannot, because of this, we cannot abandon fear of public opinion. Lok vichar, vox populi. When Shyamasundar goes cowherding on the path that runs in front of our houses, we only get darshan of him through the holes of the lattice windows. Have you ever gone to Jayapur and see the Hawa, what's it called, Hawa Mahal? The Hawa Mahal is always on the postcards. These little bay windows, there's this building with all these little bay windows. It goes like this, you know, angled and straight and angled. And it has several floors, and the hundreds of queens of the king of Jayapur, they could all stand there in these little bay windows looking and look out over the street and see any parades or any Durga functions or any yatras or some kinds of, you know, Rath yatras or any kind of functions. Or they could look out, but this little, you ever see those stone carvings from Jaipur, those called lattice window. Have you ever seen those kind of windows, little stone here and there? So the gopis, their palaces are the same way. So how much, like hold your hands, like kids do, they hold their hands in front of their face, count to 10, you know? Oh, you're supposed to cover your eyes when you go like this, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, you're watching where the guy's going, you know? Hey, cover your eyes, count to 10, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. And he runs right over and catches it. Hey! So they're looking out the lattice window. How much can you see of Krishna? One hair? The peacock feather on top of his head. Oh, I saw his peacock feather. Oh, you're lucky. I just saw I saw one corner of his turban. But the deer, like full-on broad vision, technovision, right? Wide screen, both eyes, big eyes, wide elongated eyes. Coming right up in front of Krishna, no impediment, no blocking, looking directly at him. This is the fortune that they perceive. And what does Krishna do to reciprocate with those gopis? He offers them pure, cool, sweet drinking water of Manasaganga and other sarovaras. In other words, Krishna's standing on the banks of Manasarovara, and he's playing his flute, and he's remembering the gopis. He's with the coward boys, and they think, okay, he's brought all the cows here, and he's come here, and he's playing his flute. But Krishna is looking in Manasi Ganga, and he's seeing some little whirlpools. And in those, and when he's looking at those whirlpools, he's thinking of the curls in Radharani's hair. He's thinking of the waves in Radharani's hair. So all the coward boys, they're taking some water and they're calling the cows niri niri tiri tiri chun chun. Right? Niri niri chun chun. Take, come near, come, take some water. Tiri tiri, go to the bank. So he's saying like this. And they're drinking, and then, but Krishna's playing the flute and he's singing this whirlpool. It's, oh, sometimes in Srinkarbhat, I'm brushing Radharani's hair, Kesh Seva, and those waves and curls are going passing through my fingers. And he's feeling so much absorbed in thought of Radharani. And then he's playing the flute only thinking of Radharani, and some deer hear this enchanting, bewitching flute sound and they're naturally attracted. They run with their husbands, Krishnasara, the buck. It's called Krishnasara. And the gopis are in the Venugita, the gopis are talking about this in their Adiruddha Mahabhav. They're saying, look, they run to him and they offer their faces and their eyes full of yearning and longing and the sweet innocence of their soft, gentle eyes. And he immediately reciprocates with them. And he bends down and he picks up some water from Manasi Ganga and he puts it to their mouth and says, drink. Chun chun, chun chun. And they take the Manasi Ganga right from his hand. They're drinking the Ras, the Amrit, right from Krishna's hand. Oh, Gopi. And all we can see is we look through the window of our palace as he goes by on Gocharan. We see corner of his turban, piece of his peacock feather. The deer, the harinya, the mriga, they're so fortunate. And then what else does he do? Then he offers them tasteful fruits and roots to eat. Varieties of flowers and red minerals. He's saying all the gopis are saying that Krishna's doing all these things. He's reciprocating quite a bit. They're really mad. This is the madness of their Madanakya Mahabhav. The gopis are saying he's offering the deer, because actually what they're doing, they're just called projection. In other words, because in Adiruddha Mahabhav, you project, the gopis are such madness and prema that they're projecting their own moods, their own feelings onto movable living entities like deer, or immovable living entities like trees, or even insentient things like the dry piece of bamboo. They're talking to the flute. Oh, flute! Flute is a dry stick with some holes in it. They're saying, oh, flute, with your mouth, the hole in the flute they see is a mouth. They say, you're Krishna Mukha Amritam. Krishna Mukha Amritam. You are drinking the nectar of Krishna Mukha. Krishna Mukha Amritam Pipatam. You are drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips with your lips. It's simply a bansuri, dry piece of wood, sukavants, with some hole in it. But this is their madness. So now they're saying, look, look, Sakhi, look. Krishna played the flute. The deer have come. The mriga have come. And he's offering them a seat on the nice shiny stones. And he's offering them, he's decorating them with kasturi and mineral powders from Govardhan. Yes, yes, you're right. Because that's what he does with us. He decorates our face with gopi dots. And he sits us on a soft rock on the banks of Manasi Ganga. Because that's Govardhan. The asan, Govardhan asan. He's offering them flower beds. And precious stones are acting as lamps and mirrors. So this is what's going on. The gopis are seeing this. So the gopis are thinking of the deer. And then they're seeing like this. And then they start remembering their own pastimes at Manasi Ganga with Krishna, and how Giriraj is providing all these services for them through the agency of just this Venugit. They're hearing Krishna's flute in the distance and they're having all these recollections of what they heard, what they saw, and that's instigating what's called Rasudgar. Rasudgar means they start remembering the intimate pastimes they had at Govardhan with Krishna themselves. And through this separation mood of Viparlamba, they experience union. So Viparlamba, separation, actually enhances the opportunities for meeting with Krishna, Sambhog. So then they experience, while they're discussing about Krishna, then they start feeling that they're at Govardhan and they're with Krishna, and they enter into a kandara, Giri Kandara, enter into a cave in Govardhan and start relishing the sweet association of Krishna intimately. And they end by glorifying Giriraj Govardhan. So this is one of the verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Satmayam Sadhana, that the Jatarati Sadhaka, the level of bhava, he will experience in his own inner bhavas some of these, the meaning of these verses when he chants the holy name of the Lord. And we'll continue by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.